And Wednesday is Love Boat Day, of course. It's also the day we brush off the cobwebs and allow Felix Bonnell to crawl out of his crypt and bring us a moment in history. And it's one of Seattle's most treasured stories, the Mercer Girls, the two shiploads of eligible women imported from the East Coast by Captain Steubing and a plucky pioneer by the name of Asa Mercer, because there were lonely lumberjacks, and they were very marriageable, and they needed brides. So, we know that story, but Felix, you have the nearly unknown story of the bride ships of British Columbia, which actually arrived first.
Yeah, so Asa Mercer might have been inspired by these. That could be part of the mystery. But there's a new exhibit at the Vancouver Maritime Museum called The Girls Are Coming, A Visual Voyage of the Bride Ship Tynemouth. It's curated by an artist named Tracy McMenemy, and we'll hear from her in a moment. So in Victoria on Vancouver Island in 1862, not counting natives, men outnumbered women 100 to 1. meanwhile, in England, the mother country, there were 600,000 more women than men. So Reverend Edward Bridge of Victoria got to thinking, and he wrote a letter to London seeking women willing to travel halfway around the globe. And through the efforts of a few organizations, the SS Tynemouth, a steamship, set out from Dartmouth, England with 300 people aboard. 60 of the passengers were the so-called brides, and Tracy McMenemy told me that many would be considered children today.
They were as young as 12, and I don't know how old they were. I mean, probably early 30s. But the majority of them were quite young, and they were working-class women who were very poor, and most of them are orphaned from their families because their families couldn't help them. When I first started researching them, I thought the orphans meant that they didn't have parents, but I think a lot of the families at that time couldn't afford their children, so they put them into these orphanages.
And so the trip from England to Victoria by way of the Falkland Islands and San Francisco took 99 days. Tracy McMenemy says that on the voyage, the brides lived in the very lowest section of the ship.
There were no portholes or any fresh air. There was no light. It was completely dark. There were lots of rats and cockroaches. There was no sanitation. And because it was a steamship, obviously there was a lot of soot everywhere. So I think it was pretty awful. And they never came up. They were locked down there for the duration of the trip.
So not exactly the Love Boat.
No. Were there any nice accommodations aboard those ships? I have yet to hear of any Atlantic voyage in that era where people had good accommodations.
There was a first-class section, and actually some of the women, the marriageable women, actually came as first-class passengers, but the bulk of them were down below decks to protect them from the men, allegedly.
Of course.
So once the Tynemouth arrived at Vancouver Island, it still wasn't exactly a pleasure cruise. The brides were first taken to the Navy barracks at Squimalt, and then they were put aboard a Navy gunboat and taken into Victoria's Inner Harbor. It was quite a spectacle.
There was one woman that was grabbed by one of the miners as soon as she walked off the ship, and they left and got married 3 days later. The rest were brought to in front of the legislative building, and they washed their clothes and got themselves all cleaned up, and then they paraded them around the town two by two, and then they brought them to the barracks in the Squamalt, and they kept them there some for a few days and some for several weeks until they found them work.
Yeah, and Tracy said that often most of them cried themselves to sleep every night. I mean, it's not necessarily a pretty situation. Anyway, so there weren't prearranged marriages. Most of the women were placed in homes as domestic servants, though some had come specifically to be teachers, even though it turned out there weren't really any schools, which it's a whole other story. Anyway, ultimately, several of the women were courted and did, in fact, marry local men, as well as some Americans who were up there for the gold rush. I told Tracy I couldn't really decide if all this felt like a charitable relief effort or human trafficking. She said that as far as she can tell, none of the women or girls was coerced into boarding the ship in England. She also said to think of the bride ships as a form of social engineering, to address scarcity in one area and surplus in another, and to make Victoria look more like England, culturally speaking. I asked Tracy McMenemy if the social engineering actually worked.
You know what? I think it worked to some degree. I think it worked in that certainly the woman, they changed the culture. They changed the focus of it to being gold and lumber and beer, to having some sense of culture. I think that they did change the scene. Yeah, they were definitely pioneers.
Yeah, so there's a total of four of these ships. Maybe upwards of 200 women came between 1862 and 1863. I've never heard of it before. It's very not very well known in British Columbia. Tracy's been researching it for a couple of years, and not very many people she's talked to had actually even heard of it. Of course, the Mercer girls around here have been part of our mythology probably since the moment Asa Mercer announced his audacious plan. It's been part of our mythology, right? This, you know, the lonely lumberjack. There was a musical called Calico Cargo that was produced in Seattle back in the 1940s, written by local people. And there was, of course, the TV series 50 years ago, Here Come the Brides. That really took this Northwest myth and made it a national myth. And I was unable to confirm any my suspicion that Asa Mercer was inspired by the bride ships. But there was steamships and sailboats going back and forth between Seattle and Victoria. And the news was the most precious cargo, right? What's going on in Victoria? I'm sure this made news down here. I haven't been able to confirm that. But Mercer must have been inspired by the bride ships.
You know who paid for this?
It was these social service organizations, one associated with the Anglican Church, and then a progressive early feminist organization. I think it's called the First The Female... I can't remember the name of the society, but they were people who were trying to do social engineering, trying to make Victoria and British Columbia a better place.
More
and
civilized.
Address the surf. Yeah, exactly. And those women theoretically did that. They brought these English influence to Victoria that we still feel today.
Felix Bunnell's features are all on mynorthwest.com. Felix, thank you.